Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 94. I'm your new host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and today Archaeological Podcast Network guru and overlord Chris Webster is interviewing me to try and break through the many layers of my personality and figure out why I would take this job on in the first place.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. I do not know who has still got this feed live in their podcast players, but thank you for that. I know whenever I get a new phone and my apps re-download, I kind of use it as a reset point for my podcasts. But this show, which used to be called Archie Fantasies, which is now called Pseudo-Archaeology, still gets a lot of downloads every month. So I know somebody is subscribed to this and somebody is still listening to it. So thanks for that. This show kind of went off the air and went into an archive status. I think it was about 4 years ago, give or take, 3 or 4 years ago, when Sarah, who goes by Archie Fantasies, which was the name of the show, she decided to take her show off the network, which is fine. And you can still find her stuff online. If you go Google Archie Fantasies, you can see all of Sarah's content. She's actually got another podcast about gaming and some really good stuff. And her gaming buddies were just recently featured on the Heritage Voices podcast. So check that out. But this show, we've wanted to restart it for a long time because it's a popular topic, and we finally have somebody who is dumb enough to do it, just like wanted to come in and doesn't know what they're getting into and said, yeah, sure, I'll do it, and just like no preparation and training. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
What a moron. Who would do that? Embarrassing. I know. Just some self-centered narcissist, I guess, who needs to hear his voice be talked across the airwaves. Hello, Chris. It's so good to be here. You know, I'm really excited to move forward with this show.
That's great. And we're looking forward to getting this thing back out on the airwaves. So airwaves, the podcast waves, I guess. So I first met you, Andrew. We're recording this in, it's actually May 1st, 2022, as we're recording this. And I met you last fall when you were a guest on the CRM Archaeology Podcast. And you know, you came into there as a guest. We really liked you. We were looking for a couple more hosts for that show. And then I think it was just less than a couple months later, you became a co-host of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. And you've been doing that with us for the last 5 months or so. So why don't you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself, how you got to this point, like what qualified you to be a guest on the CRM Archaeology Podcast, if anything. Maybe you have no qualifications. Yeah, and let's just talk about your history. What led up to this point?
Sure. The backstory to my rocket ride to fame as a podcaster on the CRM That's podcast. Right. So I am Dr. Andrew Kinkella. Dr. Yeah. Professor Andrew Kinkella. And so my background is I am a full-time community college professor at Moore Park College in Southern California. And, you know, I was counting up the years a few days ago, and I'm almost at the 30-year mark in archaeology, which is just insane to me.
Yeah.
But I really have kind of two lives in archaeology. One life is I've done quite a bit of local California archaeology, and I've done quite a bit of CRM work, which I talk about on the CRM podcast. And then my other life in archaeology is I've done a lot of work in Belize on the ancient Maya. And the thing that'll be on my tombstone in archaeology is working on the cenotes in the Maya world. So diving into these pools of water, they're basically mini lakes, freshwater lakes deep in the jungle. And so that's what my dissertation was on. And that's in the sort of the most academic of academic worlds. That's in archaeology. That's what I talk about a lot.
Nice. And first off, community college. Now, I've seen community. Do you guys really have like a paintball fight at the end of every semester? Is that how that works? It's
only slightly more crazy than that show. No, you know, I am supremely happy with how my career has gone, you know, because sometimes you think of these cliches about community college, like somehow it's second class or like not as good. Or I've had actual professors who, like old mentors of mine, once they heard I got a full time job at community college, be like, oh, so when are you going to move on? You know, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not moving on anywhere because I love my job, you know, and I can't be more thankful for where I'm at. I love the teaching aspect. I love reaching out to the general public in archaeology. And really, my whole career is just focused on bringing this stuff to the public. And I take that seriously, and I really enjoy it.
You know, along those lines, why don't you talk about your YouTube channel?
Oh, again, my multi-talented various things that I do. So, right, I also have a YouTube channel called Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. And I started that maybe 3 or 4 years ago for obviously what we've just been talking about. In order to reach out to the public, I realized I was getting these questions, like the same sets of questions from my students again and again, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I'll make a YouTube channel just sort of answering these questions. And as anyone knows who started a YouTube channel or a podcast or anything like that, it's really just this leap of faith. Like I had no idea, you know, at first I was just like, I'm just doing this to darkness. I don't know. Maybe this is stupid. I don't know. Maybe nobody likes this. But over time, it did grow. And I think now I have, I don't know, over 2,500 subscribers or something like that in that world. Nice. Where, yes, I'm not a Kardashian, but it's something I'm proud of, and it's nice. And it's there's enough there where it's kind of a real entity. So that's another thing I've really enjoyed.
Nice. And you kind of took some of those concepts from your YouTube channel that you teach and turned that into a book recently as well, didn't you?
Yes, again, in my multimedia approach, you know.
You're a triple threat, really, at this point.
Only triple?
Only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, I wrote a textbook. And this is also something that was just in my brain for a really long time. And I wrote a textbook for the same reason that so many people write textbooks, where they're like, you know, I can't find a textbook that does it the way I like. So I kind of put my money where my mouth is, and I'm like, I'm going to write this thing. And so I wrote a textbook. It's called Archaeology is Awesome. And what I did with it is it has QR codes in it that as you read the book, there's a QR code, and then you use your phone, and then it goes to the YouTube channel to explain some of the concepts.
Nice.
And stuff. So, yeah, it's something that, again, it's really worked well. I've really enjoyed learning from that process.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. All right. So leading into pseudoarchaeology, none of your background mentioned a passion for pseudoarchaeology. So what led you to want to help restart the show? Because I've been asking for someone to do this for a long time, and you heard it and were kind of like almost immediately like, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Right. Well, you hit the nail on the head. I'm the biggest fraud of all right here. I just have no background. It's because I take reaching out to the public so seriously, and I think it's so important. And Chris, you know this, so many archaeologists do this so poorly, you know, and it's just so massively important to reach out and ask any archaeologist. It's like, imagine you're on a plane and you're sitting next to somebody. They ask you what you do. You say, hey, I'm an archaeologist. What are they going to say after that? Right. They're going to be like, oh, so, yeah, I love archaeology. I love how the temples were created by aliens. And, you know, it's all aligned to the constellations, because that's what the public knows. And it kills me. And I don't blame the public. I think that's huge. Right. I want to be inclusive. I'm not here to make people feel bad. I really appreciate their interest. But we as professionals, it just behooves us to take that interest and curve it into the reality, curve it in to the facts, you know, and teach us. So, yeah, it's so funny. We, we were in a business meeting for the APN network, right? And I remember you bringing up, well, you know, we have the pseudo-archaeology show that's really laying dormant for several years. And I was just like, oh my God, we got to do this. You know, yeah. I take it super seriously. And I just find that it's so important to take that stuff. Again, everyone knows Atlantis. Everyone knows these, you know, the alien stories. Everyone knows the ancient astronaut stuff because Ancient Aliens and shows like it are so famous that I really wanted to take this mouthpiece and go, hey, here's the reality behind all that. And let's have fun while we talk about the reality, right? I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm not here to be like some stuck up professor who's like, oh, I can't believe you believed that, you fools. You are so dirty. You know, not at all. I'm here to be like, hey, I get that you think that. I get why, you know, you think those things. It's because the media has told you this. And again, I appreciate your interest. But come, dear listener, and let me tell you, you know, the truth of the story. And what we'll find is the truth and the facts and the reality are 20 times more interesting than the BS fake story.
Man, I can imagine I would have a good time being on an episode of this show where we just sit and we drink like bourbon or something like that. And we talk about the latest episode of Ancient Aliens as archaeologists. I feel like that would be an awesome thing to do.
It is. Yeah. And that's kind of what I want to do with the show. Like I as I've come up with ideas and sort of sketched them out, I find that about half of the shows will be about kind of famous pseudo-archaeology stuff. People that, you know, people are curious about all the time. Like maybe it's Atlantis, you know, maybe it's the Easter Island, but the pseudo aspects of Easter Island, whatever it may be. The other aspect, again, the more I look into this, is there's so much in current events that comes up with this. It's like every week there's something new and crazier. So the world is just giving me material. You know, so so I think it'll cut about half and half. You know, half will be kind of classic pseudo archaeology, and the other half will be like new current pseudo archaeology.
Well, so getting into it, what are you going to talk about? What are some of your first episodes or some of the ideas you've had for shows?
I think so. I have, you know, kind of a top several that'll come up soon. And I'm not quite sure, you know, what the very next one will be. One high in the running is just a simple book review of Chariots of the Gods.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important because Chariots of the Gods is this book that came out in 1969 by Eric von Däniken. And it's really the seed of the next 50 years of what's come since. Yes, there are earlier versions of pseudo-archaeology. You know, Eric von Däniken didn't invent it, but it was a cultural moment that where this thing exploded. And I'll talk about that in the podcast, how it's like the perfect historical moment for that kind of thing. And so the stories that he has in that book are ones that every pseudo-archaeology program that came after, whether it's In Search Of, which I used to love, by the way, which was Leonard Nimoy was the host on that in the late 1970s, early 1980s. You know, whether it's Ancient Aliens, right? Which is currently, I believe, in season 14.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, and also I will talk about that aspect too of, look, the pseudo-archaeology world, even though their stories are fake, they're doing some stuff that's really working, you know, and we can't turn a blind eye to that. And again, just be some sort of academic who's like, oh, that's so dirty. I just don't, I don't interact with that. It's like, no. We need to talk about, you know, the parts that they do that they do well. I mean, public outreach, good job, Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. It is probably, and I hate to say it in this way, but it is probably the most popular archaeology/history. And again, I hate to say those words in conjunction with Ancient Aliens, but it's probably the most popular archaeology/history show of all time ever.
Absolutely.
And the only possible caveat to that could be Time Team in the UK, because that ran for like 25 or 30 years and was a legit archaeology show. And I wish the Time Team that happened here in the US, and we interviewed the hosts of Time Team a couple times on some of my shows, And I just wish it would have had the following, but that's kind of says something about where we are with pseudo-archaeology, that Ancient Aliens is in season 14 and the PBS Time Team America could barely get three seasons in and not even all in a row. Like they couldn't get the funding to just do them back to back. I think it was three seasons and that was pretty much it. Like what went wrong? What did they do that couldn't get the public on board with it? Was it not on a popular enough channel? Was it, you know, was it the content? Was it the people? I mean, I don't really know, but you're totally right. Yeah. Shows like Ancient Aliens, and actually William Shatner has been taken to task for being on another In Search Of style show. I can't remember what it's called, but my parents were watching it when we were there. What is it called?
It's just out of my brain. It's recently. Yeah, they're doing it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's current. It's a current show. Yeah, that's on. Yeah. And he's like 90. Like, I'm like,
I feel like it has the letter X in it, like extreme something something, but maybe I can be wrong. Or the ancient unexplained, you know, but
I feel like unexplained is in the title.
Yeah. So, and again, I feel for those shows in that world, meaning sort of the William Shatner one. Now, Ancient Aliens, yes, you know, we all know is, you know, complete just utter nonsense. But also, the reason why, you know, what you're asking, you know, why does Ancient Aliens keep going? Why can't Time Team, you know, get some funding? It's because Ancient Aliens, really all of pseudo-archaeology, it takes the easy way out. And the easy way out is to play to our wants and play to our feelings, you know?
Right.
Archaeology has the hard road. That does not excuse us. You know, we've run into plenty of boring archaeologists. And how dare they make my precious archaeology boring? I hate it. Right. Yeah. But our wants and feelings, right? I mean, if I send a question out to everyone and be like, hey, would you like there to be an Atlantis or not? We're all going to be like, hell yeah, I want there to be an Atlantis. Count my hand up. You know, I would love if there was Atlantis. It'd be so cool. Like there's this like island nation and maybe it's underwater and maybe they like swim and they're almost like pseudo superheroes. And it's so interesting and cool, you know. You want that to be true. And, you know, do you want aliens to be walking around among us? Hell yeah. That's like super awesome. Do you want that the ancient Egyptians used to build rocket ships and stuff and they're from like a different galaxy? Totally. Right. It's an awesome story. Unfortunately, it's totally fake, you know, but it's playing to our wants. We want that. And the hard part, as a host for this kind of show, is I can't just be the egghead that goes, well, you know, that's all false, you morons. You know, like I can't do that. And I don't want to do that. You know, I want to kind of bro out with the audience and be like, yeah, man, I hear you. I love Atlantis. You know, I want there to be Atlantis. But what sucks, what I got to tell you, is there is no real evidence for that. There are no facts. And that's what we have to deal with as archaeologists. We deal with facts, you know, but let's look at the facts of the past and what stories can we get from the facts, you know, and those can be amazingly fascinating and dynamic and interesting. I guarantee you.
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other thing, something like these topics really need is something that Ancient Aliens had, something that In Search Of has, something that the new William Shatner show has, something that, what is that one that the guy who's, I think he's actually an archaeologist by training, Josh, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about. That show's been going for a while too. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily put that in the pseudo-archaeology category, although sometimes he does kind of entertain some ideas that I wouldn't call mainstream.
Right.
But either way, one thing that all of those have as well, not only is it an engaging topic like you've mentioned, but it's also a person that we want to see and hear and talk to. I mean, Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner, we just like everybody knows them from Star Trek. Like I will literally listen to anything William Shatner has to say.
Totally.
Yeah. And even if it's nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we need like a person or a group of people that is like that. And maybe, Andrew, that could be you. Like,
you know,
I'm sure.
I don't want to brag, but I think it's me. Okay.
I mean, every good host of the APN gets picked up and goes national. I'm just saying.
I know. It's like Saturday Night Live, man. It's like, you know, I'm going to have my movie deal.
Jumpstart.
Of course, Chris, you will be long forgotten. They'll be like, Chris Webster. I'll be like, who?
Who? You know? Yeah, exactly.
I got to look at my branding here. Exactly. But you know what? I do think it's like, as we joke, that is a very important point, because that's another thing that the Ancient Aliens crowd does really, really well, right?
Yeah.
Their branding is killer. And like,
oh, the memes alone with that one guy. What, I don't even know what his name is, but his hair and just like aliens, you know.
But it looks crazy, but dude, he's, you know, he's crying all the way to his mansion. You know,
he
like it's if and if you look at somebody like, this goes deeper too, because if you look at somebody like Graham Hancock, and Graham Hancock is somebody who's kind of the heir apparent to Eric von Däniken. Graham Hancock is like an older guy. He was on the Joe Rogan show. He's on all, he's very in the media. Now, Graham Hancock has no real background in archaeology. I believe he was a reporter. But when you watch him on something like the Joe Rogan show, Graham Hancock looks like a college professor. He looks more like a college professor than I do. You know, he's, it's true. I mean, you know, it's funny, but true. Like he has
the
he does. And that's what's so huge, right? He has the little glasses. He looks like 10% unkempt. You know what I mean? Like that's how a college professor in our mind is supposed to look.
Yeah.
And he talks like one British accent, you know? And so he comes across, he plays that part, you know? And so it gives him a gravity to what he's saying, which is of course totally fake, but it works. And that's something we have to appreciate. And I do take seriously the like, I think I can go toe to toe with Graham Hancock. I think I can go toe to toe, you know, with the with like people from Ancient Aliens and that kind of stuff. It's like I've only been working on it for, you know, 30 years because, yes, there's archaeology, but this public outreach thing I take super seriously. So it's like I feel like I'm the bull, like ready to go. You know, I'm like, OK, Graham Hancock, come on, you know, because I do want these. I do want the general public to like this stuff. I do. And I want to do the work behind the scenes to make this, you know, exciting and fun and palatable, you know, in a in a fun way.
Absolutely. All right. Well, speaking of, what is this show going to look like? How often is it going to come out? And what's your format?
Right. So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm sure it'll evolve a little bit as the first couple episodes come out and I see what works and what doesn't. But I think that how I have it now is the show will come out once every other week. So once every two weeks, and it will be less than an hour long. It will probably have three parts to it. Right. And I'm not sure if the three parts will be three specific chapters. Well, each part will divide, or it might only have two. How it will go is the first part will be the setup. Right. I'll give you the setup to the story of the day. Like, okay, Atlantis. Well, the backstory of Atlantis goes like this. Right. And also I'll give everyone, I'll take you through the story of Atlantis, or, you know, take you through the story of Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah.
Then the second part will be kind of like, I'll give you the reaction to the story, sort of the scientific reaction. And we like, look, in reality, the story should go like this. Here's portions of the story that, you know, there might be two kernels of facts that go with this. Of course, these facts are bastardized to make this story go this way. But in reality, this is how the backstory to this really goes, right? Here are the facts and the truth to this story, right? So I'll kind of give the setup, then I'll kind of give, hey, here's the reality to it. And then the third part is the rant. And then at the end, I go, and this is how I feel about this. You know, and then to give the audience like, look, this is my experience with this story. I can tell you that people in airports have asked me about this about 100 times. And, you know, this is how the public feels. And this is my reaction as an archaeologist, having known this, and just to sort of have a little fun, because I know that people listening to things like that, they want to know, you know, kind of, oh, how does the host really feel? You know, and that's, and so I want to do that again in just a very honest way. So that's how the show will break down.
Awesome. Well, I can tell you, I'm very much looking forward to editing and listening to this show. I think it's going to be entertaining. It's always a topic that is, as we've just talked about, interesting to people and, you know, really, really getting behind some of these things that we see, you know, in front of us all the time. And I think it's going to be really exciting to have this going again. So Andrew, thanks a lot for agreeing to spin this show back up. And thanks to the listeners who have kept this in their podcast feeds. And please be sure to share this out. Tell your friends about it. If you see this on our socials, we're ArcPodNet on pretty much everything, Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok and Twitter. And just share this out wherever you see it so we can bring more listeners to the show and let more people know about the reality behind pseudoarchaeology. So with that, this is the last time you'll hear me hosting this show. I was just introducing Andrew and reintroducing the show after a long hiatus. Feel free to go back. This is technically episode 94. Feel free to go back and listen to the other 93 episodes that Sarah did. And she had some really great guests on there, some really great topics. Some of that will be more than likely revisited on, you know, the reboot of the show, because there's always new information and new takes and a new way of looking at something. You know, 10 different people would look at the same topic in 10 different ways and have different opinions on it. So that's the nice thing about podcasting. So, all right. Well, Andrew, right. Thanks again for agreeing to set this show back up.
Absolutely. You know, and I do want to say, although I don't sound very humble earlier, that I'm very humbled that I'm following people who had been on that show. I mean, Sarah had Ken Fetter on there. You know, this is top talent. So, you know, I have a little bit of 10% of trepidation, like, oh my God, I have to follow Ken Fetter on the pseudo-archaeology podcast. So, I love those old episodes too. Really, some great people doing that.
And we'll have to see if we can get Ken back on, because I'm sure he would love to do it.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, with that, we are out. And again, check out the coming episodes and reach out if you've got any topic ideas or anything like that. Andrew's contact information and any ways to get a hold of the APN are in the show notes for this episode. So take a look at that. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you guys later.
Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Rachel Roden.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Come.